Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for, thank you for teaching us by the Holy Spirit. Ask tonight, as we open up the Word, that you would open up our hearts and that, Lord, we would experience the blessing that you gave through David. We'd have the blessing of Messiah in the ruling and reigning, that King Jesus would be ruling in our hearts. And we ask tonight that you would accomplish that which your word is sent to accomplish. May it be like word upon the soil. May your word nourish the water upon the soil. May your word nourish our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And ask to be taught by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel 8 and 9, after this it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. After what? Well, after he has established the presence of God in the central part of daily life. Here's the way I phrase this to us who were told by the Holy Spirit that we had a name, that we were alive, but we were dead. Church of Sardis. And the Holy Spirit spoke that and heard that and believed it, received it, repented, working this out. When you have established that the Holy Spirit is the one in your life that you depend upon. The way I phrase this to us, you establish a practical dependence upon the Holy Spirit. I think it's one of the worst things to go to church and have all these emotional experiences of the Holy Spirit and then go home with nothing. But rather to walk with the Spirit into daily life in that expression, not the experience of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit, really leading and guiding your life. As you take up the lab experiment this week, as we head into Galatians 5 on Sunday, with the practice of, I don't want to live a life after the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the same things are going to happen to you week by week. Have you ever noticed that you walking in the Spirit or you walking in the flesh does not change your circumstances? So I think that's one of the lies that Satan uses when we get into something like this, that, well, if I was walking in the Spirit, I wouldn't have had that thought. No, quite the opposite. Walking in the Spirit, when that thought comes in, I can take it captive to the obedience of Christ. See, it's not the absence of the warfare. In fact, it's the victory in the warfare. We open up chapter 8 with David in victory. Open up your eyes and see it. He attacked and the Philistines submitted themselves unto David. Now, what's in the Hebrew here is that he took, and it's really Gath. So when you study this this parallel passage in 1 Chronicles 18, Metheg Amma is Gath. But in the description of Gath, it's describing that city was in the forefront of the control of all of the Philistines. David takes their chief city, or the mother city of all of the Philistine territory. That's the way it reads in the grammar. And he took control of them. See, and I offer up today as we study, my intent is to present unto each and every one of us that we should have victorious spiritual lives. We ought to. When we're coming into stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again to a yoke of bondage. See, that's where we're starting as we do this lab experiment this week. Are we free? You find David has victory over the Philistines. This is the first time since we've recorded the war as they entered into the promised land back and forth. They have never had dominion over the Philistines until now. Took the chief city, and now he controls between the Philistines and the Israelites, and the enemy is submitted unto him. Now I offer up in this context Romans 8 living versus Romans 7 living. There comes this place as I introduce this idea tonight of victory and how we should be victorious. And it starts with the one closest to you that has ruled over you. My description, life-controlling sin. See, why is life-controlling sin such a problem? Normally the world calls them addictions. I don't like that word, right? Addiction says I will always be addicted to this. I can't get away from it. See, but a life-controlling sin, and now enters the victorious one who has defeated Satan on the cross and gives power to those who follow him and the power of God unto salvation for those who believe through this gospel. And then he imparts the Holy Spirit within, okay, nearest to you, right? Practical dependence upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what's David done? David has brought the Ark of God and placed it in his backyard. Tabernacle of David. He can go meet with God. What is this for us? It's us no longer living lives where we're doing the things we don't want to be doing as Christians. But now we're living a life doing what we ought to do, truly at liberty. And I'm going to learn from David's life. So this is a Bible study tonight, which means you need your Bible. And then, again, don't think about writing down all my words. Hear the Bible study. Okay, so let's introduce this. First thing I just say to you, armor on. Okay, battle, attack, subdue, take enemy territory. Put the armor on. So let's get in the battle. This is Ephesians 6:12. And I am not going to teach this tonight like it's the first time you've heard this. If it is the first time you heard this, then you go back and listen to the recording and you push pause and you write your notes and then you push pause. I'm not slowing down, okay? So I'm going to bless the faithful tonight who have been working on this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, okay? Get that into your heart. We're at war. Now, the context tonight is victory. Okay? Armor on for what? For a fashion show? Okay? Armor on for victory over the enemy. Now, I'm going to describe very clearly the enemy I'm speaking of today is the very real enemy without. Not talking about your flesh. I'm not talking about this world. I'm talking about your victory over Satan. And in regards to this warring, so armor on. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Okay? Put on the truth, right? So this armor, put on the truth. So belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. Again, two simple things. Is it true? Is it right? You want to have victory over the enemy? You want to get out of, why do I keep doing all the things that I don't want to be doing, living? Say, I am now free to choose that which is true and right. And it starts in the battleground of your mind. Okay? When Satan came to Jesus and tempted him in the wilderness, he did not show up in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork or flaming fork or whatever, the red, whatever he looks like. Doesn't look like that. Very subtle and sneaks, and again, in the deceptive, he's a spirit, thoughts, and I offer this up. So you take up the truth, you take up righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace. I am not at war with people. Okay? So take heed and beware unto this in regards to Satan trying to get you, especially at war with the brothers and sisters. We don't want any friendly fire going on. Okay? Now, when you hear this and take up the shield of faith, above all, take up the shield of faith. If I could emphasize this one, this is where we're at. In fact, my title starts with victorious faith. So when I'm talking about victorious Christian living or spiritual life, and I find David is attacking the Philistines, took their city, and now controls them. Going into enemy territory, setting up a forward ops base, okay, to operate from enemy territory where we put a base in enemy territory and we take control. Sitting back and saying, oh, I just feel so bad when I think this way. Get a hold of yourself. Right? You were not saved in the kindergarten, you know, playground. They looked at me funny. They were making fun of me today. Now, David is victorious over the enemy. This is the first time. This goes all the way back. This goes Saul, Samuel. It goes back to, and I've been reading about Samson. Samson never subdued. He only was able to kill some of the Philistines. David has control. Now, don't want to leave the armor on yet. Bible study, right? So, above all, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. What's a fiery dart? It's a lie. It's an illusion. It's a deception. It's a masquerading. It is not true. It's usually fearful. Many times it never happens, or it's not true of you, but those darts, and Satan can fire them quickly. Okay? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of my friends I have coffee with once a week, he's like, I was talking with the armor guy, and he said, there's no offensive weapons in the armor, and he's going crazy because he puts the armor on. My friend puts the armor on every day. And the guy he's talking to, there's no offensive weapons in the armor. He's like, Word of God, right? Okay, now, this is the way I talk with him, and I was like, well, did you know that the shield of faith was an offensive weapon too? You stun him with the shield and you stab him 4 times a second with the word, right? How does David get the victory? Now, I'm just straight up with us. This is us. And then we're starting 3 churches this summer. And you want to talk about spiritual warfare with me? You want to talk about kindergarten? Or do you want to talk about college? Or do you want to talk about, let's get on full on into the war? Why shouldn't we have victory over the enemy and all of his strongholds? Okay, so casting down strongholds, that's the venture. Get right into enemy territory, cast down the stronghold. How? Through prayer. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Unto the taking the thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. See, this is not going out demon hunting. This is not doing that. This is going forth with the gospel of salvation, preaching the gospel, praying. Okay, that's the part 6:18. So you have Word of God. It is very much an offensive. The sword is for, I mean, yeah, you can block with the sword, but what are you really dealing with? Okay, using that to take over the enemy. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful unto that end. All right, now on your way back, stop off in 1 Timothy 6:12. Bible study tonight. So armor on, David attacks, David subdues, David took their chief city and now has control of them. What does that mean in your personal life? Well, if you have a life-controlling sin that you're hearing tonight, there is a power available through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit for me to apply how I can take the truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, Word of God, shield of faith, I'll say it twice, right? And prayer, and I can go right in and I can be delivered and set free from the enemy's stronghold in my life, in my wife's life, in my husband's life, in my children's life, in my grandparents. I mean, this part, and I offer up 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. This is the promise, eternal life. It isn't about this life, okay? Now, when we get on to tonight, more than conquerors, we're going to be in Romans 8. I'm not going to spend any time in Romans 7 because I didn't win the battle. David won the battle. This study is armor on, fight the good fight of faith. What should you expect? Okay? Are you going to sit and mope just because you're in warfare? Oh, I'm in warfare. I'm in warfare every day. Okay? I'm in warfare in worship tonight. Do I stop worshiping? Oh, I just had such a horrible time in worship. I had warfare. No way. I am stopping those thoughts, and I'm going to give God worship. See, and we come to this, this part, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Well, I'll pull it back a verse. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Right? Flee what things? Well, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Greediness, many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, or gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you also were called. And I confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Was it hard for David to subdue the Philistines? I don't believe so. And we'll go on now. Let's look at his victories. He took control out of their hand. Do you understand this? You can take control out of the enemy's hand. You can go right in and take the control by the Spirit of God. You no longer need to be at the mercy of how you feel when the enemy is after you. So, every side. So, I'm going to read through this now. He defeated Moab. Verse 2, then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground, measured them off with a line. With two lines, he measured off those to be put to death. With one full line, those to be kept alive. Now, every time I've read this, I've imagined how he did it and measured them out. But it comes down to this. This is not David, right, trying to destroy them and wipe them off the map. Okay? Again, I believe this is very, very important for us to see. What he does with Moab, kills two-thirds of them, they become his servants, they bring tribute. Verse 3, he defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. That's Syrians, okay? This is the big enemy. So you got the Philistines, the one that is close, and then you have the Moabites, and then now he's on with the Syrians. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except he spared enough for them to have 100 chariots. That's what you do when you can't carry all the spoil away. So many chariot horses that they couldn't take them with them. Very common practice. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put forward ops, right? He put garrisons. He put a stronghold. He put his stronghold in enemy territory. Offer up. In the day of trouble, do you go to your stronghold or you crawl up in a fetal position and cry like a little baby? Okay. Women went to war. I've read all of the Holocaust memorial Yad Vashem things on display in the main building. Then I discovered their archive and I'll never get to the end of it. The women went to war. Right? Secret, right? Ops, spies, right? To save life. If they didn't do that, see, and likewise, we're at, again, weapons of our warfare, and then the type of warfare, men and women, marriages. Again, we're going to get onto this in Romans 8 tonight. I'll get you there. Just hang tight with me. David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus. The Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. Hear that phrase? Became David's servants and brought tribute. Okay. Now, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Okay. Son of David, Jesus Christ. Okay. Is he going to be Lord of all? When he returns, everyone's going to bow the knee. Now, you see this type of Christ in David that I would then put forth. We can learn from this in this life that being a child of God, right? Disciples of Jesus Christ, where he says the gates of hell will not have power over my church, Matthew 16. The gates of hell will not overtake us. I am with you always. Okay? And you understand my tone tonight, I think you can catch this study. Very important one. Last phrase in 6, and then it repeats in 14. The Lord preserved David wherever he went. Now, the word there for preserved is the same word we would use for deliver or saved. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. How far can you get into serving the Lord, get yourself into whatever kind of spot it is that you can always do what? You can cry out to the Lord. Now, I like the way that John Bunyan presented this in Pilgrim's Progress, that presented sometimes on the walk, come around the corner, and all of a sudden a formidable foe, and even identifying a couple times it was Satan, and he just Satan fighting, and how Christian fought hard, but was losing, and then he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus comes. See, the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Now, how do you get this? How do you get to this? Well, spiritual victory. Spiritual victory. Thompson chain number 373. Okay, now you can turn there if you want. I'm just going to pick a couple verses up. This is Bible study tonight. If you don't know what Thompson chain number 373 means, come and talk to me after service and I'll put a Thompson chain Bible in your hands. Okay? Pastor, I think it's Frank Thompson, took 10 years to come up with a system that categorized all of Scripture by topic, and then he linked it together. Some 3,500, over 3,500 topics. You need the Word of God, or are you? I watch a video instead. Open your Bible, okay? Get this into your heart. Romans 8. So this is where I want to go tonight, and probably would have had a much shorter Bible study if I just went here first. Okay, and I'm going to read Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Okay, practical dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What did you just learn right there? I can be so weak, I can be so ill-equipped, I can be battle-weary, I can be so undone, I can still do what? I can just cry out and groaning unto God, and the Spirit will make intercession according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. Key verse in spiritual victory. Do you know that Satan actually can't stop you as a Christian? Satan cannot stop you, but he can convince you to stop and quit. He can't stop you. Satan cannot make you stop the work. He cannot make you stop the walk. He actually cannot make you stop it, but when you yield control to your flesh, and he then can deceive you, lie to you, trick you. It's so hard. I just gotta quit. Okay. So if you memorize Romans 8:28 and you can combat this, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. What a predestination. All of his children, he conforms us to be like Jesus. Okay? That means the things that I experience that I would say aren't good have a great purpose in God's conforming me into his likeness. How else can you explain abandonment to a man or a woman whose spouse left them? How do you explain? See, now we're getting somewhere in victory. Okay, now jump ahead to Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now we're talking spiritual victory. Okay? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? or no money to pay your utility bill? Okay. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Thompson Chain number 374. It's the very next one. So, find your way to 1 John, the last epistle written to the church. Right, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. John wrote the last gospel, he wrote the last letters, and then he wrote the last book. I'm sure glad the Holy Spirit kept him around instead of, you know, having him die, being boiled in oil. Can you imagine not having those books? 1 John 2:13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I mean, Satan loves it when pastors don't teach the Bible. Because when you have the Bible and you read these things and then and you believe it and that puts that into you, like, that's right. I believe that I have overcome the wicked one and I can overcome the wicked one. See, the stance all of a sudden changes. 1 John 4:4. If you're still in the letter. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. How about just trying something absolutely amazing the next time you're being tempted to sin? Absolutely amazing. Just try one thing. No. Just try that. No, by what authority? By the one who is greater that is in me. No. I will not follow that thought. I will not yield to that temptation. Okay? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 5, we'll pick up 4 and 5. This might be the Bible study for some of you tonight, these two verses back to back. Whatever is born of God overcomes this world. So if you're born again, what do you already know? That life in Christ can never be taken away. No matter how life goes here in your body, no matter how life happens to you, if you're born of him, very clear, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I believe Jesus is in me by his Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. Just stir you up. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We've been publishing that on a banner for 15 years or so. 12 years maybe. I don't remember when we got it up. Yeah. Victory, overcoming. So now back to 2 Samuel 8. Let's do some reading. And David took the shields of gold that belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Also from Beta and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a large amount of bronze. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, Toi sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been war with Toi, and Joram brought with him articles of silver, articles of gold, articles of bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord. Now here is the key of the victory. It's not for your self life. It's for the Christ life. Okay? Living for Christ. David's living for the Lord, dedicates him to the Lord. Of all the nations which he had subdued, all the nations were submitted unto him. See? All the enemies all around. Romans 7 describes a Christian life where we're doing the things we ought not to do. Romans 8 describes what? It is better for me to suffer and not sin and trust that God is working all these things, and I know that he will deliver me from the enemy. So yeah, you'll have some scars, wounds, battle wounds. Okay? that, you know, a battle scar is not going to, right, keep you out of heaven. Not having a scar might show you don't have much of a willingness to get in the fight. From Syria, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, from Amalek, from the spoil of Hadadezer, the sons of Rehoboam of Zobah. You realize what verse 12 just said? All the enemies all around. David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He put up garrisons in Edom, and all Edom put garrisons in all of the Edomites gained David's servants. And again, it repeats, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. 2 Timothy 4:18. Yeah, just hear this. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. I just don't want to do anything as a Christian. I want to watch a movie tonight. I want to, okay? Whatever it is. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but you've got to have the presence of the Spirit in dwelling and then doing those things in the proper time. If you'll hear this, first, 2 Timothy, did I say first or second? 2 Timothy 4:18. So here's Paul's words. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. How could Paul face what he faced? By faith. See, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord preserved Seth wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel. You hear that one? David reigned over all Israel, administered judgment and justice to his people, all his people. So all the nations he subdued, they never had it better. As crazy as that is. See, when Messiah comes to rule and reign, will the earth ever have had it better? Joab was over the army. Jehoshaphat was the recorder. Zadok was the priest. And Ahimelech. Zadok and Ahimelech were the priests. Sariah was the scribe. Benaniah was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. David's son were chief ministers. So the wisdom of the Spirit after victory to establish rule. Okay? It's very, very important. Now on to chapter 9. Ah, Mephibosheth, right? So in chapter 8, it's victory of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 9 is fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what do you do after victory? Do you stay a soldier? Are you perpetually stuck in boot camp? You hear yourself, right? Think this through with me now a bit. So after victory in war, can you establish in the administration the order, the wisdom, and peace, and then seek for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? How is it such that you could miss that the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty in God to pull down strongholds, is the same power to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit for love, joy, peace? See, this thing goes two ways. It's the weapons of our warfare for victory, but it's also the power of the Spirit to bring forth for the people of God the restoration that we need. David, is anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Okay. Couple of these. Well, Galatians 5:22, I just gave it to you, fruit of the Spirit. Romans 12:10. Remember, this is Bible study tonight. If you're listening online, he just talked too fast and just kept going. Push pause every time you push pause on the video, I will make a funny face unto you. It never stops with a nice expression. I'm all contorted. That's why I listen to the audio and not the video. 12:10. So, does a soldier forget how to be kind? Paul says to Timothy, soldier, farmer, athlete. David is a soldier who attacks, subdues. He's subduing all these nations. Then he comes home and he turns to what? Fruit of the Holy Spirit, kindness. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Each Christian who is warring against the enemy, okay, when you come in here and you're in fellowship with the saints, this is home. This is dwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. This is, I will be kindly affectioned to my brothers and sisters. Okay, you hear that? Your homes should be that exact same picture. I will be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4. As if I had to convince you that kindness, fruit of the Holy Spirit, against such there is no law. Can you ever be too kind? Don't be kind to Satan. I mean, again, this isn't kindergarten. You mean that I got to preach the gospel to Satan? No, right? He's the spirit who works in the children of disobedience. There's no saving the angels, okay? Right? Do you need to be kind to the enemy that wants to break down your door and harm you? No. Okay? I had a pastor one time describing what he would do if a shooter came into the church. He would step in front and stop the bullet and save everybody's life. No, you wouldn't. If you did that, he still can kill everybody else. So someone better not let him in. If he gets in there, that's trouble. See, kindness. Don't miss this. You're at war, but are you at war in church? Are you at war with any of your brothers and sisters? Are you at war with any of your brothers and sisters who don't go to this church? Okay, now I think you see my context. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Enough said. Love suffers long and is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. You cannot say you love your brother if you're not what? Kind. Ephesians 4:32. Because this was with Mephibosheth, goes somewhere beyond kindness. Paul instructs the Ephesian church that their kindness should go somewhere. It isn't about just being kind. Oh, you're a kind person. I like kindness. You're kind. I'm kind. Oh, that's kind. Okay. What's that? That's our kind of kind. This goes somewhere. Ephesians 4:32. So again, don't be angry, right? Remove the enemy's foothold. Speak the truth in love to one another. Hey, listen, if you're lying and you're hiding and you're not in truth, Satan's gonna, this is why there's so much trouble. I just don't like it when they say that to me. Let him who stole steal no longer. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Where does this kindness go? 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And here's the phrase, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is the first step towards restoration. Forgiveness is the first step towards restoration. Kind, tender-hearted. I don't care whether you want to forgive them or not. whatever time you need to come to the scriptures and die to yourself and take up the cross and say, I will be kind and tenderhearted to the one who wronged me, and I will forgive them and restore the relationship. Is there anyone that I may show kindness? Back to 2 Samuel 9. There was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him, when they had called him to David, the king said to him, Are you Ziba? He said, At your service. Then the king said, Is there still not someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? What's his intent? He's not going to destroy all of the descendants. He is going to restore. Okay? Restoration. Kindness and restoration. Book of Philemon. Prodigal son. If my brother sins against me 70 times seven. Right? Galatians 6:1. You see your brother in a sin, you are spiritual, go and restore him. Okay? It's hard work being a Christian. Right? Okay. Now, that's the right kind of hard work. The only thing harder is not being a Christian. It comes down to it. So do you ever take time and say, who can I be kind unto today to get them restored to the Lord? Instead of like, nobody's talking to me. Nobody called me. Nobody loves me. Ziba said to the king, There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, Where is he? Ziba said, to the king, Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodabar. King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Here at your service. David said to him, Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. Can you imagine being called up? He probably hasn't traveled much of anywhere. It's not like you can put him into the Medivan with the ramp and he can get in his wheelchair. And I mean, you know how difficult it is for him to travel. And he brings him out and David says, Do not fear, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake and restore to you, hear that? Restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Now, isn't this what happened to you? I mean, we're all Ziba. I mean, if you think, not Ziba, we're all Mephibosheth in some way, shape, or form. And now Jesus invites you to his table continually. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. You could have the gospel according to Mephibosheth if you develop the study. For us tonight, I'm looking at David bringing forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit as he has power and subdued the enemy. Okay? You claim your Christian life is Romans 8 living. I'm no longer living Romans 7 living. I'm now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing shall separate me. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not under condemnation. I'm a child of God, and I am full of the Holy Spirit being led by him. What are you looking for? A nice, happy escape from daily life? Or are you looking to get right in the middle of daily life so that others can be reconciled to Jesus? A ministry of reconciliation, if I might describe here. David is going to reconcile Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, to fellowship, and he's going to restore him to his inheritance, and he's going to dwell with him in fellowship and pray together and break bread together and study together. Oh, sounds like Acts 2:42. Then he bowed himself and said, What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. You shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth said to the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. So, I want to pick up one last thing tonight, John 15. So in this world, you will have trouble. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. You will eat at my table every day. How do you do that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But my walk isn't that great. You want to talk to the man who had two lame feet? See, this is not works-based. This is grace-based. The grace of God, the grace and the kindness. When the kindness of our great God and Savior toward man appeared, right? Do you hear this? The grace of God. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me, so John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. John 15:7. Spiritual victory, spiritual fruit. Lord, would you give us power over the enemy for our brother and the sin that's taken him captive, that he would come to his senses and escape the snare of the devil who has taken him captive to do his will. Will you set him free? Don't be surprised when he calls you up and says, hey, can we talk? Okay? If you abide in me, my word shall abide in you. You will ask what you desire. I ask you, Father, to restore my relationship with and put in the broken relationship. You praying for the prodigals to come back. Ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, in the context tonight of 2 Samuel 8 and 9, abundant church, spiritual victory. I don't get the deliverance ministries that people go to and think that they don't have to, you know, do anything to withstand the enemy. You just pray and you're delivered and everything's you know, every sin, every work of the flesh is called a demon of something. Doesn't work. Even if you went through that experience and you thought you had victory, you're not free. But as you believe the Son and you believe what he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How did Jesus defeat Satan? By the truth of the Word of God. How will you defeat Satan? By the truth of the Word of God. Let's see. Abide in love, abide in commandments. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay? So, we have transformed lives. I didn't say the transformation is complete. The moment you think you're as changed as you're going to get, kindness is out the door. I don't need to be kind anymore. I made all the changes. I've forgiven all the people I need to forgive. Do you hear that? I change daily, conformed into the likeness of God's Son. So Romans 8, living. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Help if I go to the right instead of the left. And this is what I hand off to you this week. I'm going to sneak a verse in on you, see if you know where it's at. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Wouldn't it be fun just to go through Romans, the first two verses, and do the Romans study? And fun for me. I can't get enough of the Word of God. I mean, I probably can't take all, but it's not like food, right? If you eat too much food here in this world, what do? You say, stop, not another bite. But if you keep eating the Word of God, what do you want? You want more. It's interesting. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Mephibosheth's outlook prior to David's kindness and restoration was, I'm a dead dog. My life is worthless. I can't do anything. Great testimony. I don't ever forget this, that the majority of the Calvary Chapel pastors, when they first started pastoring in the beginning, first book they ever read was the Bible. Many of them couldn't read. Many of them saved out of all kinds of backgrounds. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. They abided in Christ, called into the ministry. They learned to read. Spirit came upon them. They shared the gospel. Abundant church. One of the guys was talking with one of the old pastors who was there and kind of dogging on him and some of this, and he just looked at the young guy and says, go get your own revival. I understand that. He's right? You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. He says, go get your own revival. So the Word of God's not enough for you? And I'm like, give me this book the rest of my days. When this scripture was opened up to my heart and I was transformed, renewed, power over the enemy, and I'm like, do you see what's in here? Right? The revival we're looking for is a revival of the truth. Give us God's word. You know, if you're talking revival and all you want is to kind of go up front and shake and swing from chandeliers, give us a revival of the Word of God. where you open up the scriptures and the scriptures get right into your heart. Like, man, every study, every morning, every conference, every retreat, every time the saints get together, Word of God, Holy Spirit, Word, do you get those things you get in the morning? Look at this. Look at this chapter. Look at how this goes with this. And just nourished in the faith and encouraged in the Spirit of God is there, and victory and power over the enemy, abiding in His words. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Be filled with the Spirit. Right? Ephesians 5:18, speaking to one another, word dwelling in you richly, talking to one another, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, abundant church. Who could I be kind unto today? Who needs to be restored to the Lord? Who hasn't been walking closely with the Lord in church? Which young Christians are being drawn away by this world that I could go to them and get them restored? Right through the list. So, well, the pastor should call so-and-so. There's one of me and there's all of you, right? So, Father in heaven, thank you. We abide. Lord, we abide. We abide in kindness. We abide in the Spirit. Lord, give us more love, more patience. Lord, give us more kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.